Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of RailComm Live. So good to be with you. So as some of you who may have watched before know, I try to summarize today's conversation by a word or phrase. My word for the day is consistent. The conversation that we're going to have today, we have been having for well over 20 years. In fact, it's kind of funny. I just found out our guest today was part of my journey, our journey, 20 years ago, and we really didn't even know it. And only through conversation did we discover that we were kind of playing in the same ballpark. But the concept is real simple. You got a very complex building. Historically, you've had 10, 20, 30 different major systems in that building, different manufacturers, different technologies, different cables, different philosophies. And in this building, this complex ecosystem of technology, none of it talked to each other. It all had different goals and aspirations. And as a result, it caused the building to be difficult to run, not as efficient as you wanted to. And frankly, we came out 20 plus years ago, it might even be 25, and said, look, the standard operating network for this is IP. It is IT technology. Let's take all these devices and hook them to a building using a standard protocol, you know, good standards, and get all these systems to start talking in ways we never imagined to make it a more engaging building, a more exciting building, a more energy efficient building. And I'm impatient, and I think 25 years is a long time, but our guest said, you know, in the scheme of things, we are making progress, and he's right. But some of these ideas we're going to talk about today are so common sense. They were common sense 20 years ago. They're common sense today. The good news is it's picking up momentum. We're gaining some speed. And this whole idea of this next generation building is becoming more of a reality. So before I bring on our guest, let's see a short video on his company. It'll give you a lot to think about, and it's going to be a great way to start our conversation. All right, Mr. Trent Moreno, SVP, Systems Technologies for Power Design. How are you, my friend?
Jim, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me today.
You know, as I watched that video and kind of in the context of this 25-year journey, I would ask anybody watching, first of all, put down your cell phone, turn off your email, pay attention to this conversation, because I really do think this is going to turn out to be, and not just this conversation, but the conversation our industry is having at this point, this is going to be one of those milestones where we will look back historically and say, we went over another hill. We achieved another milestone. We're going from crazy and you know, no way this can happen to little by little, it becoming integrated into mainstream thinking. And your company and what you do, and I think everybody's going to understand it after watching this, is playing a significant role in this whole process. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. And again, I can't thank you enough for, you know, first and foremost, for coming to visit us and learn a little more about our business and our culture. And more importantly, you know, what's coming up here in Tampa here in the next month or so, and hosting the conference here locally for the city. So we're thrilled. And again, I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Well, I got to tell you, we came to Tampa specifically because of the convention center and some of the design innovations that we saw at the convention center. It's going to work perfectly for us. Water Street Tampa, the innovation going on in the waterfront, on the Riverwalk, your company, another company called View Studios, both of which we're going to be doing tours. You guys are just knocking it out of the park, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So I always like to start out at the beginning. And it turns out as the more we talk, the more our journey was closely paralleled along the way. Tell us how you got into this crazy business of smart next generation buildings. And then we'll get into the company a little bit and then ultimately the tour.
Sure. Yeah. So great question. You know, mid-90s, obviously, you know, I was working at a startup, believe it or not, family owned startup. And, you know, we were trying to figure out what network convergence really meant. And we had the voice guy, the data guy, remember the cable for your phone, the cable for your computer. And all of a sudden, there was this new network convergence taking place. And we started asking ourselves some tough questions. And before you knew it, there was the emergence of VoIP, right? Voice over IP. And as we knew it, we were curious. Well, if this could work for a phone and a computer, what else could this cable do something else?
What year was that?
Oh man, that had to be, I'd say 92 to 95 timeframe.
Wow, good. So you were early. Good.
Yeah. So, you know, that was, of course, I was a younger pup at the time, and that was within a family owned startup. And, you know, now all of a sudden you start asking yourself questions. You start having meetings. You start talking about ROI, and And all of a sudden it's like, well, there's something here. But before there's something here for me, I was just learning the trade, right? Learning what integration was. I said, before we get too much further, I need to go learn more about electrical systems and mechanical systems. And at that point, I had met a gentleman by the name of Jim Sinopoli, who many in this world would know. And Jim met him on a plane and read a few of his books, and he took me under his wing and, you know, taught me a lot and taught me everything I know. And then I went to work for Johnson Controls, learned mechanical systems, went to work for an electrical contractor, looked at electrical systems. And then all of a sudden you start working in the valuated reseller world for a partner of Cisco. And that's where I met Ray Rapuano. You may remember that name.
Remember Ray?
Cisco RTP. And Ray took me underneath his belt and, you know, again, had the chance to do some on the job learning through him up in RTP at Cisco in Raleigh. And before you know it, we're swimming in similar sandboxes. There was the AOL Time Warner building in yep. Manhattan. There was that project a while ago. That was early, maybe mid 2000s. I'm dusting off some cobwebs here.
Yep.
There was the Ballantyne Village project.
In our world, then GSA and Microsoft, Daryl Smith came into play.
Right.
You know, and then the big guys came in at the right time and said, this is real.
Yep.
And let's keep playing. How'd you end up with power design? I mean, power design just seems like the perfect combination of all your earlier skills and training. How did you end up there?
Yeah, it's really by accident, candidly. So I was working at a company, I think we had met a while back, designing and building the CompuCom headquarters project, right? A smart building project that a couple of years ago we won some awards with you on. And we were just wrapping up an acquisition in Tampa to kind of grow our space. And I'll never forget, the gal was like, you've got to meet Joe. Joe, you got to meet Joe. Who's Joe? Who's this Joe guy? Right. And so I'm like, he's not on the org chart. Right. So I'm like, but I said, I'll meet with the guy. And Joe turns out was the chief operating officer at Power Design. And I'm interviewing him to come work for me. And he's interviewing me to come work for him. Before you know it, we're at dinner and we're just talking shop. And it was like a guy I had met, you know, I had known for 20 years. It was fascinating. It was fun. And, you know, the nice thing about this, Jim, was, you know, in the tech world, right. You know, our companies, they come and go, right. They're startups. They get leveraged and they get asset value and they sell them. I was looking for some stability, candidly. I've been in that world for a long time. I've built three startups, worked for some companies and, you know, they sell. And Power Design is a family owned company, not looking to sell, you know, 35 years old. It brought stability to operations, which in the convergence world is sometimes hard to find. And good marriage. It's worked out well.
And we were fortunate enough to do a tour in prep for the conference and the tour. I've been in a lot of companies, you know, Silicon Valley, New York City, all over the world, frankly. And what you do or how you do it is palatable. When you walked in that door, not only do you have vision, but you have a culture, you have a vibe, if you will, that I have not seen in a lot of companies, right? So give us a little high-level overview. The video was a great way to start, but just, I mean, 3-4 bullet points. What does Power Design do?
Power Design is a multi-trade contractor. So we are full MEP, blown design build contractor. And then on the tech side of the house, we have over 60 different systems that we represent. And I always talk about outcomes-based engineering. We start with outcomes first. We talk about what you're trying to achieve. And what we try to do is storyboard that out. I think the biggest thing from a Power Design perspective, right? We're a little just north of $1 billion in revenue, family owned, privately held. We have 10 salespeople on staff. We are an operations.
10 salespeople generate $1 billion worth of revenue.
We're an operations led company. And the nice thing about that, Jim, is, you know, the quality of craft and the work speaks for itself. And if you do great work and you stand behind what you say you're going to do, i.e. there's no subjectivity. Like when I work with you, this is a hypothetical, but if I was working with you and going and doing a smart home for your house and, you know, you and your wife were there, we would make sure we iron out everything. So there's no subjectivity between you and the missus or in publicly traded companies, the CEO versus the CFO. And I think that attention to detail is like nothing I've ever seen.
Well, and I've dealt with a lot of MEPs. Frankly, I've been very critical of the MEP industry over the last 15, 20 years because they are just inherently very comfortable with copying and pasting what they did on the last project. Okay.
Right.
very little incentive to take risk, very little incentive to be innovative. You guys seem to like blow up that deck and just say, we're doing the opposite. We're leaning in. And that's evidenced by what you do at the company. Talk about the technology side of a traditional MEP operations that you represent, you know, the kind of innovative ideas that you and your team are bringing to the built environment.
Yeah, I think it all starts with, I'll start with just put my operations hat on for a second. The level of attention to detail from a design perspective, i.e. the drawings we put out to our projects in our field. I tell everyone this, the attention to detail is such that if that drawing was to build a space shuttle, my guys could do it. So it's we have taken design drawings to the next level. And Jim, I got to tell you, in 25 plus years of doing this, I've not seen that before. It's literally down to the nook and cranny. Now, we spent a lot of time doing that.
But you don't spend time on the job site fixing the problems.
Correct. And most importantly, even after that's done, we have what we call constructability reviews. So now I've got a drawing, and now we go through every inch of that space. I'm not talking about with BIM and Revit and all that stuff. I'm talking about hands-on meetings with the guys that are actually building the systems, building the building, the superintendents, the foreman, the integrators, the programming agents, the commissioning agents. Everyone is in a room, and this could take a day. It could take 3 weeks, but we go through and we rip that job apart to make sure.
What was amazing about when I came in, you guys walk in the door leading with IT, IP, mm-hmm. Smart buildings, low voltage. I mean, all these topics that we've been pushing for a good number of years that the industry has adopted, but not at the right speed that I would like to see. Where did the company decide to be so innovative?
I candidly, it was our clients, our developers, right? We're working with building owners, and our building owners were the ones asking us. It's very simple. You have to be able to perform what you're putting in and advertising that you can install. And what we see time and time again is there's challenges sometimes on any construction site, but more importantly with the products that people say they're going to do and the systems or installations that say they're going to do, and they just don't function or perform the way they say they're going to. Right. And so we've just being an operations led company, we've realized it shouldn't be hard, but sometimes the industry makes it harder than it should.
But I mean, when I walked in and saw a server rack, a fairly good sized server rack in an MEP, construction company, that's not something. I mean, you've leaned into IT as much as you have had, or you have the traditional technologies. At least it seemed like that when we were walking through your firm.
Yeah, I mean, our IT led approach is kind of we lead with tech first, and we'll worry about the electrical and mechanical and the plumbing second, if you will. MEP and then T. It's kind of reversed in our company. The culture is let's lead with the T. And we'll worry about the M, the E, and the P later because of what's happening with convergence and the systems coming together and the smart building. I mean, look at all the ESG initiatives right now within the Fortune 500, right? So we're trying to lead with thought innovation, or we lead with thought innovation. And then from there, you know, you start getting into these interesting concepts. And then all of a sudden, those concepts become reality once you start doing cost modeling, right?
Well, but you know, if I was to, you know, send it on an RFP to 100 MEP firms, 80% of them would be traditional thinking, mm-hmm. bring in all the systems folks, and maybe IT will tag along.
Yep.
Okay. And I think I'm even being generous. I mean, why is your peer group not, you know, on this with the same approach you have, you know, going back 5-10 years?
It's, loaded question, not an easy answer. I think it's people get comfortable and there's revenue streams that are established, and you know, these are we can't tell people how to run their companies. But what I can tell you is our chairman, our founders here, the Permi family, we exist to serve. Right. That's kind of our motto. And look, Mitch is the founder. He started this company as an electrician, diehard electrician over 35 years ago. He got into the tech business over 17 years ago. Right. And it started with something very simple. It was a fire alarm system. They said, hey, you know, why do they keep having challenges in fire alarm? And then this is way before, you know, the BACnet IP integration with fire alarm systems, Jim. Right now, all of a sudden, it's fascinating to hear him and Joe and Lauren and the members of the Prairie family talking about BACnet IP. I'm like, it's amazing. So
I have a sneaky suspicion, history, and that's why I said milestone. History is going to show you, your firm, and what you're doing as one of the first steps to taking that whole construction contracting side of the equation. And you guys, I believe, were one of the first, if not the first there. You are setting standards that are hard to deny. And I think over the next 20 years, they're all coming your way. They have to.
Yeah. And there's little things that we're trying to do to create disruption, right? And I'll pick on, you know, let's look at COVID, right? Everyone had supply chain issues, right? The largest OEMs that we all know very well did. And it was really no different in our business. But guess what? We still had to make TCO. It's just that simple. We had contracts signed with clients. We had to make turnover dates. And when you went back to the manufacturers, they were like, hey, we'll help. But guess what? Their dates didn't get better. They got worse. Right. So all of a sudden you're expecting a product, you know, I'll pick on lighting control processors, 96 weeks lead time. Well, you know, week 90 comes around and now I'm at 124. I can't afford to wait. I have to hit a date, or guess what? There's liquidated damages.
And there were people who sat waiting for the magic bullet and those who leaned in and figured it out.
Yep. And so what we've tried to do is, you know, I'll pick on electrical switchgear for a second on the electrical side. You know, Power Design said we cannot let others control our destiny. We have to think about the outcome differently. And I'm happy to share we became an electrical switchgear manufacturer, and we rolled off our first board off the line April 1st of this year, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, so, I tell you, you know, and I'm just disappointed that I didn't, you know, cross Power Design's path 10 plus years ago. And it, you know, took us coming to, and obviously we've been working together for years, but I didn't pay as much attention as when I came to Tampa and visited your place to really get an understanding. You guys are groundbreaking. You are setting trends. You are setting standards. And it's very exciting to see a battleship coming through, you know, coming through the ocean and creating a wake for other companies who want to follow in. But listen, let's take a brief break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the tour and what people are going to see if they decide to go to corporate headquarters or Power Design. Pretty exciting opportunity. All right, so the tour. When I came, and I'm just going to give kind of a brief overview of what I experienced, you know, walked in the door, incredible hospitality, engaging people, beautifully designed facility, the culture, you could feel it, the vibe was extraordinary. And then when you start peeling back the onion and you see all the technical attributes of what you're doing, I don't want to steal your thunder, but as we walk from department to department, it became very clear that you guys had a different vision. So in your words, what can people expect when they come see Power Design in Tampa?
Yeah, just every outside of everything you just said, what we're really, really proud of is we are our new grand opening of our what we call our evaluation center, Jim. It's over 40,000 square feet. And this is where, you know, everyone coming on tour will be able to see how we evaluate every single employee in the field. You'll see evaluations for programming and commissioning. You'll see evaluation on public safety desk systems with how our technicians will configure these systems prior to touching your job site. You'll see how BMS is installed and how BMS integrates with lighting control. You'll see electrical switchgear, how we install it, and more importantly, how we maintain it. You'll see how access control and video surveillance then potentially, if warranted and if the outcomes there, will tie back into the BMS system. So what we really try to do is outside of talking the talk, we make sure that every single installer, technician, programmer, commissioning agent comes into this eval center. The reason why I'm saying it's a grand opening is because we used to have an 8,000 square foot one. Now we
that's
have
the one we saw. I was impressed with the 8,000 square foot one.
This takes it to the next level. And I had a chance to walk it with ownership this morning. And Jim, it's wow.
And it'll be ready for us in June, right?
Oh yeah. Grand opening is next 2 weeks from now. So we're thrilled.
When you talk about these new ideas and concepts, innovation, the first logical step is a lab, but you've taken it to the next step where it's not just a lab, but it's a place where you can teach and create these standards and make sure a very complex building scenario meets some of your standards, correct?
That's exactly right. You know, we not only do you have what we call power design best practices, which again, if there's an OEM out there that says how to install something this way or program it that way, we then say, hey, that's great. We're going to take it another three steps higher. And so you'll see our best practices area. You'll see our lab environment where we're working, where we're doing R&D candidly, where we're talking about how we're harvesting sunlight off of winnows, how we're taking that sunlight and distributing it to network switches and getting power to these ports differently. Ideas, right? Not production, but ideas, really trying to think about what's new, what's coming to stay ahead and really bring value back to our clients.
You know, putting my sales hat on, you know, if you're in a bid with three competitors, I would just set the criteria before you make a major decision like this. Why don't you go to each of our corporate facilities, talk to executive management, see how the company works. And frankly, I don't think anybody, any of your competitors or anybody in the industry can demonstrate, not talk about, but demonstrate physically how you guys approach a very complex business of building, you know, large projects.
We always talk about this, Jim. Anyone can build a nice rack, right? But when you go above and beyond and look at where that rack is stored in the IDF or the MDF, wherever it may be, we're going the extra mile to make sure that IDF is our brand and our reputation. And if that means putting painting the plywood backboard or putting a polyurethane floor down or putting a rubber mat down, whatever that may be, we're taking on that extra cost to make sure that when you open up that closet, it's looks like a Ferrari.
Just well, and the reality is, for those of us who have been around the trades for a while, you can pay me now or pay me later, right? And so you can go in with a big foggy, you know, concept, and you, everybody knows those change orders are just merciless. I mean, and they're expensive and they're time consuming. And the more details that you figure out up front, and the better trained your people are, the probability of finishing that project under budget and on time just goes through the roof.
Oh yeah, and we have financial data to support exactly that. And that's we spend a lot of time talking with our developer clients on. In fact, just here on campus, I think we host over 200 developer tours annually. And wow. Because we're literally going through with each of them. Because what happens is, you know, it's you hit it on the head. These developers will hire a GC, and then all of a sudden it becomes a race to the bottom line. They may not be looking at, you know, support and service, and all of a sudden they got something on bid day that was, yeah, it was cheap, but guess what? Now they're not doing service based on merit. They're doing service because they have to.
And yeah, so, well, and you think that this is, you know, the natural conversations, people are buying into all this. I had a very good friend of mine in the industry, major city in New York, in the country, had to get on an airplane, cross the country to convince his head of construction to put the network back in a major building. Right. So it was originally put in the design and then value engineered out. This is 2023, big project, big company, and he still has to put up with this stuff. It sounds like your approach, everybody buys in from the beginning and you finish together.
It is. Look, it's a lot harder than it sounds, right? I mean, it's easy, but it takes time. And when you spend that time up front, you know, you get those rewards on the back. So
do you think the guys who built internal combustion engines for 50 years, you know, really understood electric cars at first? No. And it's eventually we're going to take their skills with internal combustion engines and put them to new technologies, but you got to be willing to change. That's you got to be willing to take risk. And boy, I felt it when I walked in those doors. So give me like 30 seconds. What are people going to walk away with from that tour?
I think a couple things. I think they'll be impressed with our thought leadership. I think they'll be impressed with how we control our destiny. Look, Jim, we take things like material and we retake the material out of boxes and we send them to job sites repacked. I mean, we go down to that level of detail to make sure that we don't have devices that are DOA, that they're not impacting schedules on job sites. That, look, we're now delivering material to sites with our own trucks. Why? Because of what happened in Seattle during COVID with the trucker strike. So it's that level of attention to detail that sets your brand apart. And what you can leave, what I hope you'll leave with is just hopefully you'll see a partner in Power Design. That's what I hope you'll take away.
Well, if you think about that level of precision, you guys could build the International Space Station, right? I mean, that's the same. And why don't we take that approach to some of the most complex projects, you know, in the world, putting up these big buildings? And it's just so exciting to see somebody of your size and scale have that vision and execute. So we are truly excited to have you part of the conference and have you help us with giving a tour to a select group of folks. So final question. I know you're a golfer, or so I've learned. We're doing a golf tournament, charity event, Stacks and Jewels. I'm really excited about that. Any thoughts about the course? Any tips?
Oh, boy. TPC is it definitely the top three at Tampa, for sure. If not the top in Tampa. It's beautiful. The atmosphere, the grounds, the practice facility, you are in for a treat. I had a chance to play there, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had text Jim. Their general manager is all pumped up. He's hyped. And they just redid the greens. So you guys are in for a real treat, I'll tell you. It's certainly not Augusta, but I'll tell you what, you're damn near close.
Well, it's I think the golf term or golf event is almost sold out. We've expanded it once already, and there's some limits on the course, you know, not any course. So if anybody's listening and is a golfer, hurry up, get your name in. We'd hate you to miss it. I think we might have a waiting list right now, but we want to make sure everybody who wants to play golf can, and we'll do our best to do that. And I know you've been a big help on the golf event as well, so thank you for that. My friend, I'm looking forward to seeing you. It's going to be exciting, and I think the more we can help get the news out on what you are all about, we want to do, because I think you're doing great work.
And thank you to the Real Comp family, you, Howard, the entire support team. Your team is phenomenal. That's second to none, Jim. So thank you so much.
Pretty much the same philosophy, service-oriented.
Amen.
All right. Have a great day. Be well.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
All right, let's bring on Mr. Berger and get to the news. I know he's going to be mad at me because I went over, but that was just too good of a conversation.
No, you're
How
good.
How much did
you're
I go over?
Seconds yeah. of that.
I can't believe that, you know, we didn't find them 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, and it's and obviously we knew Trent, you know, through his various different career path. This company is just off the hook. Really, really good.
Yeah. And just so fortunate that we're able to do something with them, you know, in Tampa.
Yep. All right. Let me get out of here, do the news, and I'll be back as soon as you're done.
Okay. So thank you, Jim. And Trent, thanks. It was so good having you with us today and really glad that we finally were able to so closely align with Power Design for the conference. So moving on to the news, here's a few stories from Thursday's morning's weekly briefing. So first story. CoStar acquires Matterport in a $1.6 billion deal. I mean, it's all over the news. CoStar has agreed to acquire Matterport, a digital twin platform, in a cash and stock deal valuing the company at $1.6 billion, which represents a 212% premium over Matterport's last closing share price. So if you're not familiar, Matterport's technology helps companies create digital replicas of physical spaces, and it's gained significant traction over the past decade. So CoStar, PropTech heavyweight, plans to incorporate Matterport's virtual tours in its marketplaces, including their apartments.com and homes.com. The acquisition is seen as a fortunate turn of events for Matterport, who's been struggling to improve their profitability. The deal is expected to be completed in the coming months, pending regulatory approvals. Next, Meta's AI assistant. Hey, it's fun to use, but unfortunately, you can't trust it. Meta has launched an artificially intelligent chatbot called Meta AI, which can answer questions, generate images, even create poems. The chatbot's integrated into Meta's popular apps like Instagram and WhatsApp. While it can be fun to use, Meta AI is not really a good, reliable search engine and often provides inaccurate results. It also struggles with things like basic math and counting. However, it does well at editing text, generating images like cats sleeping on windowsills and the like. Now, while it has its limitations, it is fun to use and it's safe. And it's almost like a new form of emoji. But what it does well is it is making artificial intelligence more acceptable to the masses. Next, NSA launches guidance for secure AI deployment. So the U.S. National Security Agency, NSA, in collaboration with six governmental agencies from the U.S. and five ICE countries, they published new guidance on how to deploy AI systems securely. The guidance launched on April 15th. It provides a list of best practices divided into three basic categories: securing the deployment environment, continuously protecting the AI systems, and securing AI operations and maintenance. It advises organizations to manage deployment governance, harden environment configurations, and protect networks from threats. It also recommends validating AI systems before and during use, securing exposed APIs and actively monitoring model behavior. The guidance aims to help organizations reduce the risk involved in deploying AI systems and protect their intellectual property, models, and data from theft or misuse. Finally, cool or creepy? I love this. Microsoft's Vasa One is the new AI model that actually turns photos into talking faces. So Microsoft's developed a generative AI system called Vasa One, which can create realistic talking avatars from a single picture and audio clip. So the system can capture lifelike emotions and produce natural looking movements and allow users to modify the subject's eye movements, distance, emotions, using a process called disentanglement. It can control and edit facial expressions, 3D head position, and facial features independently. Microsoft researchers, they praise the system's real-time efficiency, generating high-resolution videos with high frame rates. And while Vasa One has some significant potential benefits, like improved educational experiences and assistance for people with disabilities and the like, it also raises significant concerns about misuse, emphasizing, and I say emphasizing, the need for responsible use regulation. But my question is, once you've opened this Pandora's box, how can you regulate it? So that's a wrap for me. Those are a few to this week's highlighted articles. Read them in this weekly briefing, and I wish you all a great weekend. And back to you, Jim.
So we're trying desperately, you know, to hold back everything AI. I mean, the conference this year, RealCom IBCon, is just going to be filled with AI from the very beginning to the very end. Kind of the anchor is going to be the Buildings AI Symposium. But it's kind of funny that 3 out of 4 of your articles this week were about AI. I know I think you're having a session on deep fakes, and we're playing around with some AI interfaces, graphical user interfaces to access property management, facility management databases to allow for customer service engagement. I mean,
we have sessions on prompt engineering with a focus on, I think we're hitting the fundamentals. We're not, you know, we're
past the hype.
Shining up the hypey stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a goal of ours starting in January, that we were going all in, digging in. And the goal was to get past the hype and get to the reality. And I think I was talking yesterday to somebody, and we could have up to 15 unique real estate case studies at the conference as it relates to AI. I mean, literally demonstrations, examples of how AI is working in the built environment today, not tomorrow, but today. So we got about 6-7 weeks to go. It's going to be wild and woolly. And maybe we should ask AI what it's going to look like in June.
Can't predict very well, but I wish you could.
Thank you so much. Great job as always. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right. Before I wrap, let's hear from our final sponsor, and I'll be right back to talk about next week's episode. All right. So first of all, thank you to Trent, Power Design, great conversation, all of our sponsors, and of course, the RealCom team who puts this together. Next week, going to be another great conversation with our co-chairs. As I've mentioned, we choose an advisory council, which is topped off by 3 phenomenal senior executives who kind of help us take all the information we get and make sure that the program, the general session, comes out right. And next week, we've got our 3 IBCon chairs, Byron Lopez, Director of Operational Technology, Kilroy Realty, Eileen Goldfein, SVP, Chief Digital Strategy Officer for Hines, and Neil Ross, Senior Director, CRE Tech and Product Management, Corporate Real Estate, Walmart. Giants in the industry. Not only great companies, great people, but these people are leaning in. They are leading the charge. And I think you're going to be pretty excited to see and listen to what we're planning for the conference and the conversation we're going to have next week with these co-chairs. So with that, I'd like to say thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Look forward to seeing you next week, and hopefully seeing you in June in Tampa. Have a great day, great weekend. Be well.